All right, thanks for joining us, everyone. I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. We do have some new members in our committee. So as we do roll call, if you could just give a short little introduction, name and city that you're representing. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes, good afternoon, committee members. Agua Caliente, City of Blythe, City of Cathedral City.
Hi, I'm Nancy Ross. I'm a council member in Cathedral City.
City of Coachella. City of Coachella.
Sorry, I was trying to unmute myself. Stephanie Vican, council member with the City of Coachella.
Coachella Valley Water District. City of Desert Hot Springs.
Russell Betts, City of Desert Hot Springs.
Imperial Irrigation District.
President.
Mayor, I'm sorry, City of Indian Wells.
Mayor Donna Griffith, Indian Wells.
City of Indio.
Oscar Ortiz, Mayor for the City of Indio.
City of La Quinta.
Linda Evans, Mayor, present.
Mission Springs Water District.
Russ Martin, President of the Board, Mission Springs Water District.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs.
Rhonda Hart, City Council Member, City of Palm Springs.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Ted Weil, Council Member, Rancho Mirage.
Riverside County, 4th District.
Present.
Torres Martinez. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. And again, welcome to our new members. We'll go ahead and move on to public comments on agenda items. Do we have any public comments?
Here, we received no written comments, and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to item number 4, committee member and director comments. Do we have any comments from the committee? I don't see any comments there. I do want to give a quick update. I visited Sacramento for a Strategic Growth Council conference last week. We discussed some strategies for investing the funding that will be coming from the state and federal government to address the issues of climate resilience, housing, and transportation. We discussed some of the mistakes that were made in the past in failing to invest into local economies and failing to account for long-term maintenance of some of these projects. So we're just planning for a better round this time around. We also discussed some new strategies for renewable energy. I joined a session where the Federal Department of Energy was talking about virtual power plants, which are designed as residential solar power connected to the grid to help relieve the strain on the grid during peak times. And what I would like to see if our staff could bring us an agenda item to discuss these renewable strategies to enhancing our electrical grid. So here, you know, we know that we're lacking in infrastructure here in the Coachella Valley. Recently, IID presented the numbers to us, which was $500 million behind on infrastructure here in the Valley. And right now, Indio is pushing for a surcharge so that we can raise $50 million for 4 substations to accommodate growth and provide redundancy for our community safety. But if there's federal funding for expanding renewable energy, maybe that $50 million can go to a bigger renewable project that could relieve the strain on the grid. And maybe we would not need to keep building more substations in the future or have the necessity for all of these substations. So, you know, maybe that $50 million goes a longer way if we package it with a federal grant for solar panels or for a microgrid or hydrogen production or something of that sort. So I would like to request that to be on the next agenda, but I would also like to open it up for discussion from any members of the committee. Question from Ms. Gina Nastande.
Yes, just, you know, along the lines of solar panels, using our family as an example, we are finally getting solar panels on our home after living here several years. And, you know, for the average family, it's so expensive to do solar panels. And it, as you're mentioning, it would be wonderful if we could have more solar energy. And I think part of the discussion would be, what can we do as cities to help our residents make the solar panels more affordable?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, well, one of the questions that I raised to the Department of Energy is, how do we know where to invest? How do we know how to compare these technologies? You know, is our $50 million going to go further along if we invest it into substations? Or would it be better if we actually invested that into solar panels for our residents, right? And have some kind of contract with our residents where maybe we partially pay for those solar panels, reduce your electric use, pay IID for the infrastructure costs. Just how do we start finding new methods instead of just keep investing into these substations? You know, are there newer ways that are going to benefit us more in the long term? Question from Mr. Russell Betts.
Yeah, I just want to say it sounds like a great agenda item. I welcome that be on there and, you know, detailed discussion on that. Hopefully we'll leave enough time on the agenda for everybody to get into it in detail.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Perez, you had a question there?
Yeah, no, just very quickly, I agree with Russell. Mm-hmm. I agree with Gina. Thank you for those points. And, you know, as far as the county is concerned, you know, I'm going to be having some sort of organized effort with entities that are interested on developing on county land. So a regional approach with developers to figure out how we're going to bring energy to Thousand Palms, you know, Bermuda Dunes, North Shore, those type of areas. Sitting down with tribal governments, knowing that 29 Palms is moving in this direction, and already have sat down with Morongo, knowing that they already have electricity that they're moving towards LA area. Mm. And, you know, our approach, I believe, is going to be a little different. But I'd rather have that conversation when it's agendized, because I think we need to have a very thoughtful, thorough, robust conversation on what is the future of energy regionally for the Coachella Valley. So I just want to put that out there because obviously this is going to be a need for years to come.
Thank you.
And so I appreciate the fact that this is going to be agendized.
Awesome. Thank you, Supervisor Perez. And yes, we do want to look at, you know, those big solar projects that we can have, you know, on separate parcels of land, but I also would like to include residential solar, you know, without the need for the infrastructure to go back and forth. I just think that we might be able to save a lot of money if we're avoiding all that electrical infrastructure and providing that source of power right there on the homes. But I think, yeah, leave it open to any of those types of developments going forward.
Mr. Chair, can we schedule that meeting for 30 days from now rather than 2 months from now? It sounds like we could use to have that conversation sooner than later.
I'll leave it to staff there. What do you think, Mr. Kirk?
Well, I think it would be complicated. As much as I'd like to, CVAG is in the midst of a move and scheduling it now. Perhaps our first series of in-person meetings creates a little bit of logistics. And frankly, this is a big topic. If you want to have a meeting with a staff report, we're going to probably need 60 days. If you want to have a meeting with an agenda item and an open discussion, I'm sure we could arrange that. Maybe we could even arrange it this month while we could do a virtual meeting, but we wouldn't have much background.
Okay. Let's go ahead and go move to Nancy Ross. Do you have a question there? Oh, you're on mute there.
My dog was being feisty and I muted myself. I just want to make sure when we do come forward that we have a great explanation of opportunities for financing that cities and areas can take advantage of, whether collectively or independently, because obviously almost everybody's going to need some form of help. And understanding where that's going to come from, what are the hoops you must jump through, and how you utilize those will be an important component. At least it will be for myself and my son. Thank you.
That would be great. That's a great point. And, you know, I think we will need those 60 days for that level of conversation here. But, you know, on the other hand, I think we're all open to having these conversations individually. So, you know, I'm open to talking to anybody about any of these issues and trying to get some ideas going before we get to that 60-day conversation as well. So maybe we can all have our own individual conversations beforehand and see if we can generate some ideas and some opinions before we get to that meeting, our next CVAG Energy and Environment meeting.
We will put something on the agenda for your next meeting, and we will certainly reach out to IID and Edison and even something called Desert Community Energy, where we serve load in the city of Palm Springs. And so get as much advice on the subject as possible and bring some information forward to you for your consideration.
All right. Thank you. Let's move on to our consent calendar. Do we have a motion to approve or, you know, any request to move any items or pull any items? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
We have a move from Ms. Donna Griffith and a second from Mr. Russ Martin, I believe.
Yes.
Thank you. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
You don't need a roll call. If you could just ask all those in favor, say aye, and then identify those that abstain or are opposed.
Sounds good. All in favor, say aye, or please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Any dissent? No, not seeing any. All right, thank you. Motion passes. We'll go ahead and move on to item number 6A. We have a presentation from the Coachella Valley Water District on regional conservation programs.
Hi, good afternoon. My name's Adam McWay. I'm the conservation manager for Coachella Valley Water District. So thanks for inviting me today and having the opportunity. I'm just going to give a brief update kind of on the drought and our conservation efforts. So to start, yes, California is still in a drought. So CVWD is one of 29 contractors to the State Water Project. And we did recently receive notice that we would receive 30% allocation this upcoming year, up from the 5% we've received the last couple of years. But that's still far short of our full allocation. So a little background, I guess the governor declared the statewide drought back in October of 21, and in March 2022, he issued the executive order that required all the water districts to implement stage two of their water shortage contingency plans. So for us, that meant a ban on daytime watering, restaurants only serving water upon request, reduction to outdoor water budgets by 10%, and expanding our outreach and water waste patrols. So we also went ahead and increased our rebate programs at that same time. So that's when we increased our turf conversion rebate from $2 a square foot up to $3 a square foot. And then also local cities have developed their own matching programs that have made up to $6 a square foot available for residential customers within, so our current partnerships are with the City of Rancho Mirage, City of Palm Desert, and Indian Wells, where residential customers have that extra benefit. With our own budget, so CVWD's rebate program budget, we've increased it twice during the fiscal year from what we started at. It was $2.85 million. Increase that up to $13.35 million. And our goal is to remove more than 4 million square feet of turf in this current fiscal year. So through December of 2022, we had already completed just more than 1.5 million square feet of turf. And we have another 2 million or so pending approval and inspection. In addition to just turf conversion rebates, we also offer residential rebates for smart controllers, high efficiency toilets, nozzles, washing machines, hot water recirculating pumps. We also offer to HOAs and commercial properties, in addition to turf conversion, irrigation upgrade rebates and smart clock rebates for that as well. For residential customers, we're getting ready, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, to launch a pilot rebate program in partnership with CalWEP that would allow customers to purchase Rachio controllers, which are Wi-Fi smart controllers, at a discount, or Flume devices, which customers attach to their water meter, and it can monitor for leaks and consumption, again, through their own Wi-Fi, and that can give them kind of live reads of water flow and leak alerts. So, I mean, that's kind of update I have. don't know if there are more questions or comments or looking for more.
Thank you, Mr. McWay. Do we have any questions for Mr. McWay here?
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I want to let you know that your turf rebate program has been so successful and so well received in the city of Indian Wells. And I want to thank you and your team. It must be a lot of work to administer that, because I know it's a lot of work at our city hall, but it's worth it. So thank you.
Yeah, our inspectors have been pretty busy.
Thank you, Mayor Griffith. And we have another question from Mr. Russell Betts. You're on mute there, Mr. Betts.
I'm unmuted now, sorry. The hot water circulating pumps, how much do you figure they save?
I'd have to look back at the memo. I wasn't in conservation when we started that program. I know I've seen the memo on when they ran the pilot and decided to pursue that program. I know the idea behind it is that you don't have to run the water to wait for hot water. You just turn it on and the hot water's there. So that's where the savings. We are working. We're a partner with the California Data Collaborative. And so we're working with them to get all our rebate data in addition to our consumption data to get some better analysis moving forward of how effective all our rebate programs are.
It seems to make sense. You run an awful lot of water waiting for that hot water to get to you. Question is, has anybody looked to see how much more natural gas that system uses, since the pipes aren't insulated like the water tank would be?
I think a lot of people are pushing for the electric ones now too, right? And there's a lot of rebates. I think there's federal rebates now for the all-electric hot water pumps.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Gina Nastandi?
Yes, thank you. And Mr. McVeigh, thank you for all you and CVWD are doing. I know our family could take advantage of that hot water instantly in our household. But my question is the larger one. Are there any plans with the state and the governor's office to start developing more infrastructure, like the building of dams to retain water when we do have those rainy seasons? Do you know of?
Well, so Robert Chang, our assistant general manager, is more involved in those talks. I know there's the improvements to the state water project, that the two tunnel to one tunnel project. There's also, I believe it's the Sites Reservoir project that's going on, that I think they're in environmental phases of currently. There are some projects to try to increase storage capacity up in Northern California, but I'm not an expert on those.
Okay, well, thank you for your input.
Thank you, Ms. Nastandi. I just wanted to add, too, that's, you know, great goal to have 4 million square feet removed. You know, it's really impressive and really, really thankful for those efforts. We know that, you know, our turf takes up a good percentage of our urban use, so we'd like to see all those conversions. I had a question because I was in a SCAG meeting the other day, and Metropolitan Water District was talking about some of their turf removal programs, and kind of to mitigate the potential impacts on heat islands, they were kind of they were also required not only the desert landscaping, but they required tree planting when they give their rebates, and they also require some kind of stormwater recharge components to whatever new landscaping design there is. I was wondering, is there anything similar available through your program or required through your program?
So we do require a certain amount of canopy coverage to be reinstalled or placed back wherever the turf was removed. Okay. So it doesn't necessarily have to be trees. Mm-hmm. It just has to be, I believe it's 25% of the amount of turf. There has to be plant coverage equaling that, whatever that percentage is. I think some of the cities have Additional requirements. I think Palm Desert does have a 2-tree requirement. I think Indian Wells has a different requirement. So, but as far as our program, it's the 25% canopy coverage.
Okay, 25%. All right, thank you. Personal request. I know out here we are definitely trying to push for native planting and native trees to be planted, but that's personal preference of mine. Mr. Ted Weil, you have a question?
Yes, thanks. On our turf conversion program so far, we've invested close to $3 million. The estimate that we have been given by CBWD, to answer Russell Betts's question, it's estimated that that will save approximately 75 million gallons of evaporation per year, based upon the conversion so far. In addition to that, the Catino project, which is a Disney project that you've heard about, is going to have a two-pipe system to every structure. One will be for potable water, and the other will be for reclaimed water. There will be a facility on site that supplies water for desert landscaping. So it'll be a two-pipe system, the only one so far that I'm aware of. So between the reclamation and the dual-pipe system, I think there's going to be a lot of savings that we're able to generate.
That's great to hear. Thank you for that update. Do you have any other comments or questions for Mr. Adam McQuay here, CBWD? If not, then thank you again, Mr. Adam McQuay, for your presentation. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. We'll go ahead and move on to item 6B, which is update on our IREM. Oh, you're on mute there, Kenyon.
Good afternoon, TRTs and committee members. I'm here today to provide an update on the Inland Regional Energy Network, or IREN. IREN is a consortium of the three councils of government, or COGS in Riverside and San Bernardino counties, being CBAG, WRCOG, and the San Bernardino Council of Governments, SBCOG, under the auspices of the California Utilities Public Utilities Commission, CPUC. And to summarize, IREN's programs include providing technical assistance to local governments throughout those our counties, Riverside and San Bernardino, to perform assessments of public sector buildings, recommendations of energy efficiency measures for these buildings, and implementation of a software app to assist city staff, contractors, consultants, and members of the public in evaluating energy efficiency retrofits of these buildings. The second part of the program is workforce education and training to ensure that there is local or regional capacity to accomplish the retrofits, and to build that capacity. The third part of the program is increasing compliance with California Energy Code through in-depth training programs for public building departments and building industry workers. Since the committee's last meeting in November, the IREN Executive Committee has met twice, with the next scheduled meeting February 21st. In about 2 weeks. At this meeting, consultant contracts that will implement IREN's programs will be considered for approval. Each of the contracts are for 3 years with 2 1-year options for renewal. All three COGs participated in the interview and selection process of the consultants. And to summarize the contracts that are being proposed at that meeting, because the public sector program has two distinct scopes, the assessment of existing public buildings and then the software app, the separate consultants were selected to implement each. the proposed contracts are not to exceed $7.5 million for the assessments, including some incentive money, and a not to exceed of $655,000 for software implementation. For the codes and standards program, one consultant was selected for the not to exceed amount of $2.374 million. And the workforce education program, IREN is leveraging existing organizations in the communities and will provide funding to do workforce training and may bring on some staff, including interns, to assist with workforce education. And then the final contract is to assist all the IREN programs. One consultant was selected for marketing and outreach, not to exceed $750,000 over, again, 3 years, up to 5 years. IREN is also developing a strategic plan that includes COG sending surveys to sustainability staff of each of the respective member governments, as well as community stakeholders. And furthermore, the IREN will also conduct some interviews with IREN Executive Committee regarding strategic goals and objectives. Since each of the COGs has three votes, they will be three committee members interviewed from WRCOG and SBCOG. For CVAG, it is recommended that Chair Ortiz be interviewed along with two additional committee members. Staff recommends that the committee give input to Chair Ortiz regarding their approval of the consultant contracts at this next IREN executive meeting on February 21st. Staff also recommends the choice of two volunteers for strategic plan interviews, since there's an opportunity to give input in the process. That concludes my staff report. I'm available to answer any questions you may have, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. Ms. Evans, would you like to join in that interview process? I think you'd be a great addition to that team.
Well, I think that the challenge is I'm looking at the meeting schedule, because they'll take place during the meetings, correct? Or are they going to do it outside?
No, I think they'll do it outside of the meetings.
Go ahead, Mr. Potter. If I might say, it's intended to be a one-on-one interview by the Blue Point Planning Group, and they can schedule it to meet your needs.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that. Yes.
Okay. And then do we have any other suggestions for a third interviewee here? Mr. Perez, would you be available for that? I think you'd be a great addition there.
You know, I just got appointed to CARB. And there are a lot of meetings there that I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to juggle that. So I prefer that another member of our committee here jump in. If I need to, then I will.
All right. No worries.
I'd rather not, to be honest with you.
All right. We'll leave it open then. Any other volunteers?
And if I may volunteer anybody, I would like to get somebody from the Edison service territory. So, Mr. Betts or Mr. Weil or Ms. Ross, any of you might be interested?
Or Gina.
Or Gina. Ms. Sandy.
If nobody else wants to do it, I will.
All right.
Okay.
We've got a volunteer.
All right.
Thank you very much. I don't want to overschedule myself as well. Thank you.
I thought you guys would be excited to participate. I was excited. I'm just kidding.
I just cleared all my schedule. Now I'm filling it back up again.
Thank you, Mr. Betts, and thank you, Ms. Evans, for volunteering here. Appreciate it.
What we are trying to do with the IREN, you've empowered Mr. Ortiz to represent you. We are providing staff support to Mr. Ortiz. And for big decisions like the one that he's going to be faced with, and that's approving a number of contracts, we're going to give you the information. We don't expect you to have a lot of feedback and details, but if you see something in particular that you want Mr. Ortiz to communicate to his colleagues in Western Riverside County and San Bernardino, please do so. And you could even do so after this meeting. If something comes up, reach out to me or Kenyon or Mr. Ortiz directly, and we'll make sure those thoughts are passed along.
Do you have any other questions or comments on the IREN contracts decisions coming up here? Doesn't look like it. Thank you, Mr. Potter, for the presentation. Appreciate it. Thanks for keeping me on track, too, during my meetings.
You're welcome.
Thanks. And we'll move on to item number 6C, which is our urban tree planting initiative. Go ahead.
I'm going to be presenting this initiative. Staff has worked to develop, and we look to seek your endorsement of the specific goals that are relating to shading in our valley. So, as way of background, Coachella Valley is heating up. The heat is increasing over time in our valley, and it's noticeable. The average day and night temperatures are increasing. The summers are essentially growing longer. Hot temperatures above 95 degrees and above 100 degrees are most of the year, and above 95 degrees, probably nearly half the year at near the end of the century. So we need to address this in at least several ways, but I'm here to discuss urban greening. The heat islands are present in various places in Coachella Valley and around the Southwest. Urban greening definitely helps with reducing heat island effects. Where do we stand today? How is our local urban forest? Existing tree canopy, as we presented in November, varies across the valley from below 5%. And you can see that in the faint green areas or light green areas. And all the way over to over 15% in the medium to dark green areas. Here is a comparison of the various tree counts in Coachella Valley and Palo Verde Valley at Blythe and Palo Verde Valley. There is a difference in the tree counts. And the difference is that disadvantaged and low-income communities have fewer trees per square mile, but overall the tree counts are also different for these communities. And we're going to try to change that. The first set of goals relates to tree planting, and we envision planting the trees to make sure that they have the best chance for success, using an arborist and some other support. The main goal is a minimum of 12% tree canopy coverage. And I note that during the discussion with CVWD, there's a difference between canopy coverage and tree canopy coverage. This one provides good shading. It does help provide shading for people and others that are around the trees. It can help with energy efficiency. And the second part of the goal is to get up to 15% tree canopy coverage, but we would have to add a residential program, and we'd be glad to do that as we obtain funding. The second part of the initiative has to do with shade structures. 100% of public playgrounds is a very reasonable goal, and so we've included that in our initiative. And then we also want to have a reach goal of providing 25% shading of public seating. So people that are out in the public areas, there is some protection on some of the seating. Why trees? They offer many benefits. And I'm covering some material that we presented in November, but I think it's helpful. Shelter from direct sun, energy efficiency, absorbing CO2, making oxygen, and creating more livable streets. And finally, trees themselves help in other ways, mental health, wellness, enjoyability. Here we go. When you have trees along streets, which is a good goal, the question is, how do we get there? But tree-lined versus tree-starved, it's pretty clear what is more livable and from this picture, I think. And you can see the shade offered. And then the second question is, why shade structures? Trees are great, but shade structures complement trees. They also provide direct protection from the sun and extreme heat from heat directly overhead. I mean, sun coming directly overhead. Energy efficiency, they can provide some rapid deployment. And where trees can't cover things like playground structures, this is where shade structures come in. And of course, no irrigation. Here's an example of fully shaded, and kudos to the development and covering of all those playground structures. But we have partially shaded playground structures that we'd like to cover and assist the cities in that effort. Here's an example of a recent project that I think most of us are aware of at Grapefruit Boulevard. Very impressive. And many trees added, many plants, and improved the urban greening. That's it for my visual presentation. And we'd love to have an endorsement from, after discussion here, from the committee as to those proposed goals.
Mr. Chair, if I might add, this may be one of the most kind of obvious presentations, and I'm not sure anything there was striking or controversial or surprising in many ways. You may wonder why we're doing this, and for particularly the newest committee members, the chair of CVAG kind of introduced the idea of a global game plan back at the General Assembly last year on urban greening. And there's been a lot of talk about climate resiliency in the state of California and a lot of money. And we see some advantage to CVAG, to the cities, to the county, and to our nonprofit and other partners, right, Mr. Ortiz, in having a global vision for what we're trying to achieve. And most of you that know me know I'm not a big pie in the sky, let's develop a plan. I'm much more focused on getting things done on the ground. In this case, having a pie in the sky, a North Star or a goal, an objective, is probably very useful for us in attracting some big dollars to get these projects done. With that, as Kenyon said, we're here to answer and address any questions and comments.
Thank you, Mr. Potter, and thank you, Mr. Kirk, for the clarifications there. We do have a question, first one from Ms. Nancy Ross here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Potter, and of course, Mr. Kirk. I just want to remind our commission, and for those who are new, in 2021, we did have a Civic Spark fellow, Tori Brewster, who produced for us the Urban Greening Guide. She developed a palette of what were the appropriate trees and shrubs to build in the area. She held community meetings and got buy-in from the citizens on what they thought. She also reached out to some universities and got buy-in from some of their horticulturists. And that book also includes a how to create a project proposal for grant funding. So certainly take advantage of the work that's already been done on the ground. I know you've done work as well, but there's no point in reinventing the wheel again and again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. We have another question from Supervisor Perez.
Obviously, this is a program that we need throughout the entire Coachella Valley, knowing how hot it gets here. I'm wondering, though, if there's a way in which we can integrate coordinate with Sunline. I say that because there are many stops where there is no shading whatsoever. And whether it's tree shading or whether it's even somewhere to sit down that has some sort of shade. And I see that more and more on the east end of the valley, although it's all over the valley. And I like to see how potentially this type of program can be connected, coordinated with Sunline, and maybe have that type of discussion with the folks there as well.
Great point, Supervisor. Thank you.
And Supervisor, Caltrans grant opportunity crossed our desk in the last 60 days, and we did forward that to Sunline and look forward to working with them on that grant opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you. Mr. Russ Martin?
I noticed on the chart that you had earlier, you had very specific numbers of the number of trees in each community. How are you arriving at that? Is that only trees on public property? Because I don't recall seeing a drone over my backyard to count the number of trees in my backyard. So I'm just curious, how do you arrive at that number for each community?
That's a very good question. And in the past, it would be fairly difficult, but there are aerial images taken of all of California, including our valley here. Those aerial images are very high res, and the latest were done in, I think, 2020. And there's a research unit at Cal Poly who sought to use that data and an AI algorithm to analyze the imagery, and they tested it. They confirmed that it works well enough within pretty good confidence. So they utilized that to be able to look in, you know, from like Google Map, but it's a higher resolution image that they were relying on. So they calculated an estimate of the tree counts, and they have it available for anyone in California upon request. So, and we requested that data, and they provided it. So. That's how we were able to get fairly accurate, we think fairly accurate numbers, but pretty precise numbers, compared to inventories that typically undercount trees. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll, be sure and look for the next satellite, going over my backyard too.
Just to clarify, it wasn't a satellite. It was, aerial photography by plane, but.
We've contracted with the Chinese government, and I understand they're going to be sending something over. So.
Big white balloon came over my house. I know. Okay, all right.
You read my mind.
Thank you. I did want to add a couple of things. When we're looking for these places to plant, I think, you know, Supervisor Perez made a great point in looking at bus stops and how we can shade some of those for the people that are looking for transportation there to encourage that transportation. Another two things that I wanted to prioritize is walkways, especially like walkways to school, where we know that there's a high volume of kids walking to school or a high volume of people walking to get groceries, and prioritizing some of those spaces. The other one, the residential program, would be very good. And you know, I worked on a grant recently, and they excluded any residential uses of trees for that program. And the reason why I thought that would be more beneficial is that we could put them in a way that directly shades the homes, right? And that way you reduce the energy consumption and the energy cost for those residents. So not only are we, you know, improving our urban greening and mitigating our heat islands, but we're also saving cost and reducing the strain on our grid. So if we can find any grants that would be applicable to residential, that would be great. Mr. Potter?
Just to answer your question, one of the grants we are applying for does allow residential trees, so we'll be including a component for residences.
Awesome. Thank you. Any other comments or suggestions for this item? Seems like a great effort on behalf of CVAG. We're really happy to see that this came up from our executive committee. So. Thank you to our staff and to our executive committee for bringing this forward. And we'll go ahead and move on to our next item, which is informational items.
They're just information. If anything there folks want to chat with us about, they can. And next is up. Oh, we do have somebody, I think. Chair?
Yeah, just very quickly, I announced this earlier. The second Veterans Fishing Day, the second annual Veterans Fishing Day Trout Derby, Saturday, February 18th. Come on down, Lake Kaweah Veterans Regional Park. And it starts at, gates open at 6:15 a.m. unless you spend the night. Tournament starts at 7 a.m., ends around 11. Last measurement is at 11:30 a.m. There'll be plenty of prizes. And your entrance into Lake Kaweah is also part of you being, if you so choose to fish, also being part of the fishing derby. So hopefully that clarifies that, Linda and others that might have been wondering about that. And so the entrance for veterans and family of veterans is free. Non-veterans is $15 per person. So those $15, for example, would allow you to enter Lake Kaweah. And you can also pre-register online. You can go on my website. And Desert Recreation District, as well as Riverside County Parks, are sponsoring this event, Hooked on Tackle, Coachella Desert Baits. And we got plenty of great prizes. So come on down if you want to spend some time with veterans and have a great time.
Thank you, Supervisor Perez. Is there a separate fee for the fishing?
No, that's exactly it. So, you know, once you enter, you pay that fee, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Awesome. Sounds great. Okay. Thank you for working on that for our veterans. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
We have a question from Ms. Nancy Ross.
Actually, it's not a question. It's something I wanted to share with you that falls under our information. We just did a five-year goal setting, or I guess strategic planning, really, when you go 5 years. And one of the things we did was survey our city. We had a really good turnout for that. We hired a company. It was well done. And one of the things that absolutely blew me away, and it really applies to our group, is the high number of people that were not just resistant, but practically, you know, militant about EV charging stations. And I mean, obviously that's something, you know, we're really interested in. We want to have an aggressive movement forward. And because there are laws that back us, we can. But I found that really interesting that was our real picking issue for our community. And I'm assuming that it will be for many of yours as well, or some of yours that are in the same demographics we are. And so kind of a heads up that, you know, we might start putting out more information, or when we add information, you know, put a little tagline in or something so that we can really start getting more people interested. I thought it was going to be an overwhelming success, and it was a big draw. I mean, it was a big no. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah. I wonder if that's connected to the issues with the grid, right? That people know that we have such a strained grid and adding the electric charge. That's what I've heard in opposition, but I don't know if anybody else has heard any other.
Yes. Interesting, Nancy. We're in the process of a huge solar program in the city of Indian Wells, where we put solar at City Hall, but more particularly Indian Wells Golf Resort, which has been a huge undertaking for us. And we put in EV charging stations, and we did hear complaints about it. And so when I delved into it, because these were not through a survey, but just personal, when residents saw them going in, I talked to them personally, and that was it. They were so concerned that, you know, California is going to be all electric, but we don't have enough electricity. And that was really their number one concern. And why are we buying into it? And it's a hard one to answer when people are asking you that, because, you know, it's true. We have some real problems. Mm-hmm. So that may be part of it. I agree, Oscar.
Thank you. Mr. Russ Martin?
Yeah, I have to echo what Donna just said. And my concern is when all of a sudden we have problems with power blackouts over the entire state as it is right now, and you add another 20 or 30 million cars charging on there, plus another maybe 100 million trucks and things like that. There's going to be a tremendous draw on the power grid. I mean, I can foresee a lot of people saying, gee, I can't come to work today because I don't have, you know, I can't charge my car, you know, and that's been a big concern of me. We should have the infrastructure in place to accommodate all of the charging stations before there's a mandate from the governor to switch to all electric vehicles. I think, and right as it stands right now, I don't see a movement in that direction.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Yeah, sure. You know, even more reason that we need to look at, you know, all the renewable strategies and solar power and hydrogen power and how do we supplement our energy resources here with the renewables.
Mr. Chair, I know this is all information and it relates to something that you've all brought up in a number of ways, electric vehicle charging and how do we accomplish that. I do want to make a plug and I guess a little play on the language. But a plug for Supervisor Perez. He mentioned that he is now a member of CARB as an aside. I think it's fair to point out that our county supervisors for years have sat on something called South Coast Air Quality Management District, and it's served us well having that representative. To my knowledge, nobody from the Coachella Valley or probably Eastern Riverside County has ever sat on the CARB board, and CARB is the one that's directing a lot of these investments and the regulations. And it's awesome, frankly, to have the supervisor on that, on CARB. And maybe there's an opportunity for us to learn more about what the state is thinking by virtue of the supervisor's appointment. Maybe we can get CARB to present to you in a future meeting on their next steps.
Thanks for that, Tom. I will add that Eduardo Garcia is also on CARB. So he's also representing the East End.
Good point.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments on our informational items here? If it looks like it, we'll move on to public comments on non-agenda items. Do we have any public comments here?
Chair, we've received no written comments and we have no hands raised.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to announcements. Do we have any other announcements from any of our commissioners? I had one more request for a future agenda item. I know there's a lot of negotiations going on with IID and our water supplier and Colorado River Water. Could we also add that to our next agenda item, getting an update on any negotiations happening there?
Yeah, and we've obviously got a link there. Director Hamby of IID does represent at times the district before CVAG committees. He is the chair, I believe, of the Colorado River Board for the state of California now. And so we'll reach out to him or others and get an update on that.
Sounds good. Thank you. Next meeting is going to be April 13th at noon. And next executive committee meeting will be Monday, February 27th at 4:30 p.m. We'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for your input. Really appreciate it. And thank you to staff, too.